We're currently faced with a crisis in Christianity, a life and death struggle between orthodoxy and heresy, between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults.
The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The prosperity gospel, it's nothing short of a wholesale transformation of Christianity. It's the glory of the cross supplanted by the glory of consumerism. It's a fast food Christianity. It's long in looks, but it is dreadfully short on substance.
You can meet and hear Hank Hanegraaff at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org. Don't miss the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
In time, you will know what it's like to lose. To feel so desperately that you're right, yet to fail all the same. Dread it. Run from it. Destiny still arrives.
Evacuate the city. Engage all defenses. And get this man a shield.
That is the trailer from the upcoming and the latest of the Marvel movies in the Avengers series, Avenger Infinity War Part 1. It's coming out soon, and we've just been kind of barraged with Marvel movies, and there are a whole different universe of movies that are also being made one after another, featuring the various superheroes as they occupy their respective universes. What is the Marvel Universe, and where are we in telling its story? We've been asking for your questions and your comments in advance of the release of Avengers Infinity War. We've got them before us, and we have Pastor Ted Giese with us to answer those questions and respond to your comments as well on this Thursday afternoon, April the 19th. We're going to talk Marvel movies. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Describe the Marvel Universe for us, and where are we? Orient us in that film-wise.
Okay, so a thumbnail sketch. Essentially, these are all comic book superhero stories, and they're all being translated into film. So they all focus mostly in on Earth as the main arena for all of the superhero activity. So you get all of these various superheroes, including people like Iron Man and Incredible Hulk and Thor and Captain America. This is the kind of world that they're in. And you even there's Netflix TV shows that are kind of like all focused in on kind of like low-rung superheroes, and you get your big superheroes, and you get your super big superheroes. The Avengers is a group, like a team of superheroes that work together. So this is kind of where we're at. So you have a lot of origin stories where you're getting introduced to the character. So Iron Man was introduced back in 2008. That kind of kicked off this what they call phase one of the Marvel superhero movies. So there's been a phase one, a phase two, and we're in phase three, and there's just piles of these movies. And the other thing that's important with these movies is they're all sort of interconnected. So they're all happening in this same expanded, big Marvel cinematic universe. And with movies like the Avengers movies that came before this and some of the other movies, you have a mixing and matching of characters. So they're all kind of knowing each other, getting to know each other, interacting with each other. And now we're getting to this new movie, the Infinity War movie. And I think there's going to be something like over 70 characters on the screen during the movie that are all from various other films. So this is a huge, this is like a crazy thing to put together. So how it's going to work out, it's hard to know. I think at one point somebody was saying that if they all got the same equal amount of screen time, they would each get 3 minutes tops, kind of a thing. All the main central superhero characters. Where we're at right now with all of this is that some listeners will be familiar with the idea of a MacGuffin. And even if you're not familiar with the idea of a MacGuffin, you're familiar with the idea of a MacGuffin. A MacGuffin is basically this, an object or some sort of thing that is the reason to kick off a story. So you can think of like the Maltese Falcon from the movie The Maltese Falcon, or Marcellus Wallace's briefcase in Pulp Fiction, or the Ark of the Covenant in Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, this kind of thing, right? So the Star Wars, the Death Star plans in Star Wars, these are MacGuffins. So what we have in this whole series of movies is a major meta-narrative MacGuffin, which is this, essentially these little stones that, you know, do miraculous kind of crazy things with power in the universe, and they're all go into a gauntlet. So if the person wears the gauntlet, they can control time and space and have like ultimate power and can snap their fingers and destroy the universe, that kind of thing. And there's a character named Thanos, this villain character, who is trying to get this gauntlet and get all the stones. And this has all kind of been happening, peppered in through all of these films in the background, sometimes in post-credit scenes. And now we're getting to the point where Thanos is now arriving on Earth, and all of the superheroes, even ones from outflung parts of the universe like the Guardians of the Galaxy, all come together to try to stop him.
Okay, a real quick question before we get to our listeners' questions. This is a complicated universe. There are complicated plot lines, subplots, subplots. There have been a lot of movies made, and somehow they all fit together like a huge jigsaw puzzle. Going to see a movie like this, Infinity War Part 1, it's only Part 1 because the story is obviously too complex to tell in 2 hours, or probably 2.5, close to 3, that it will take. Does someone just jumping on this train have any hope whatsoever of understanding where they're at?
I don't know. I don't think so. I even if you had, like, let's say you avoided all of them and you had read like the original comic book for this, you would still probably go, well, I don't follow. I'm guessing. Like, there's something like 20 some movies that if you sat down and they're all on the average of 2 hours long, it would be like a full-time job to get yourself ready for this movie if you were behind. And, you know, even just thinking about all of it, and sitting down to talk about it today, it's like doing a final exam for like a university course or something. There's so many details, and likely we'll get something wrong. But, you know, this is the thing. So, yeah, like, this is kind of why it's going to be a huge event. So Black Panther that just came out is just a huge, gigantic movie in terms of making money. But now you get like all of your fans from all of the different Marvel movies all having an opportunity to see their superhero up on the screen. So Infinity War, if it's halfway as good, should make a pile of money.
So this is what I have done. It's not that I have a lot of time, but my wife does community theater, so I have evenings free. Mm. So I've been trying to catch up, and I've watched all these movies. I have, over the course of the years. I haven't watched them all recently.
Right.
But I had a couple to catch up on, so I went ahead and rented them and watched them. What I found myself having to do, I got a pretty good memory. I can remember the characters and the storylines and keep them sorted apart. But I would have to pause on a regular basis, go and look up something on Wikipedia in order to figure out, okay, who is this guy again? I know he's there. What was that they were just talking about that they just mentioned in passing? It was kind of an arduous task. It took the better part of, say, 3 hours to watch a two-hour movie because I had to stop and orient myself that many times.
And the thing that's really interesting about that is that that makes these films a product of their time. If you, like, these comic books have been around for a long time, since like the 50s and 60s, some earlier than that. But essentially, you are able to do that. If these movies had come out in the 70s, there was no internet. to do that with. You couldn't have stopped and checked all these things out. They would have had to have put out like gigantic books, like, you know, like an encyclopedia set, just to stop and do that. So these, I think in a way, these are, they're able to make these movies as complex as they are because people can stop and go to a wiki page someplace and like read something about it.
Aaron asks in Nebraska, kicking us off here, was it planned to have Infinity War exactly 10 years after the start of the franchise, or was that mere coincidence?
Yes and no. So I think back in 2008, they didn't know where this was going. They didn't know if they were going to do this. And really, actually, before 2008, they had had already Marvel, like superhero movies and stuff existed. Like there was a Daredevil one with Ben Affleck. There's a bunch of them. But in 2008, that's when it really kicked off with Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. And that's also kind of when they started getting like Marvel's like studio together. So did they think that 10 years from now they would do Infinity War? Probably not. But they did in 2014, in October, announce that they were going to do Infinity War for May of 2018. So they did pick a date 10 years after the beginning of when they started everything with Iron Man, but they didn't do it until midway through of all of their planned movies.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking Marvel movies on this Thursday, April the 19th. When we come back, we'll get to your questions, one from Dennis in Denver, another from Karen in Monroe, Michigan, and others to follow. Pastor Ted Geese taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption.
Often misunderstood as sort of a to-do list for women.
Deaconess Elizabeth Allman, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman.
Or something that we have to strive to be, and it's very often pulled out of its moorings. It's pulled out of its context and not really put into the context of the rest of the book of Proverbs.
Learn more about Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
I'm Pastor Watson. Are you tired of entertainment and in need of the peace that passes human understanding? I invite you to Augsburg Lutheran Church in Shawnee, Kansas, to receive the gifts of Jesus. Augsburg is scriptural, traditional, historical, sacramental, and reverent. The Church of the Apostles, the Councils, and the Reformers wants to be your church family also. For more information, visit us at augsburglutheranchurch.org.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Kristan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Kristan logo at issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking Marvel movies with Pastor Ted Geese. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. Here are a couple of questions to kick this off here. Of a similar nature from Dennis in Denver, Colorado. First, he says, what would you say is the theology of the Marvel movie universe differing from the Marvel comic universe? Is this just the mushy, feely, all we have is each other, so just love one another? Is there something else? And Karen in Monroe, Michigan asks a similar question. Reflecting on a theme is a great way to start discussions about stories. One way to consider a theme is the simple topic plus insight equals theme. Considering that the topic of good defeats evil is always the topic in superhero movies, what insights have we gained from the previous Marvel films other than just cliche? She says, I do enjoy the films and tend to forget anything having to do with literary development while watching them, overwhelmed by nonstop action. They seem to keep the insight to its simplest form of cliche so that we can all agree with it, such as good guys work together to defeat evil. We need each other. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, these are great questions. So, I guess the mushy-feely stuff is there. However, when you start to think about it on the whole, you know, I start to think of some other things. And one thing that I contemplated a little bit is that evil just keeps coming. Like, they never get through it. There's just more evil coming all the time. So, in a way, this is, you know, one half of something like Original Sin, the Fall, is part of it. This is the underpinning stuff. The other thing that I think is interesting is the other half of that would be that the characters themselves, they're dealing with temptations of their own. So, and often with the superpower kind of stuff that's connected to it, or their superpower, you know, technology or things that they've got, a lot of the themes kind of start to revolve around how do you use that power? Like, so oftentimes you have characters that move from a place of arrogance to a place of humility. So this is like struggling with their own original sin and the sin that they are presented with, that they are tempted into falling into. So, you know, characters like Iron Man, Tony Stark, he goes through an arc going from arrogant playboy to somebody who's much more thoughtful in what he's up to, and even gets to a point of, you know, having philosophical thoughts about things. So you have that kind of stuff going on. Thor, who's, you know, quote unquote a god, although that's another little thing we could talk about. Thor is a character who goes from a place of arrogance to a place of humility as well. So this is kind of an interesting thing that you see in a lot of these characters, is that they're struggling with temptations into misusing their power, misusing their skills to do things that would be wrong. And of course, they're always trying to, you know, they're often presented with opportunities to sacrifice themselves for the good of others. That's something that comes up over and over and over again. So when it comes to evil, yes, it's like good versus evil. And some of the movies are maybe a little more shallow than others. But when you get to something like Captain America, Winter Soldier, that one kind of is elevated up, I think, a notch. There are things going on in the Captain America Civil War where they have to kind of grapple with bigger questions, which is also kind of interesting. So I think that on the surface, yes, it's all very, it can all seem very mushy, feely stuff in there. But then underneath that, when you get into individual characters and their character arcs, and then just the relentless nature of evil that just keeps coming and coming and coming, and there's no stopping it, it seems like, even though they are stopping it, it just keeps rolling in. I think that has something to say about the nature of evil. One other thing that's interesting too, I mentioned Thor being like a god, quote unquote. Even within those Thor movies, the character of Odin will talk about how they're not really gods. They just live a really long time. So there's that aspect of it. You get a sense that all of these, or you even have it explicitly said, that these kind of long-lived characters that come off as gods to humans are actually just part of a created universe. And the other thing in these Marvel Universe, you know, stories is that it is a created universe. It is something that was made by someone, not what we would consider, you know, what we believe, because this is all total fantasy. But if you dig deep into the comic book end of it, like, there are these beings out there that are making everything. But it is, at least in an intelligent design universe that exists in these Marvel stories.
Ben in St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, has a comment. Always been a fan of Chris Evans' Captain America. I have two comments on the two of the Captain America movies and how they touch on major philosophical and political ideas. First, Winter Soldier touches on personal responsibility. The title character, aka Bucky Barnes, recalls his murderous actions as a brainwashed pawn. Cap says, "You didn't mean to do it," but Bucky responds, "But it was still me who did it." Second, Civil War fascinatingly focuses on a major difference between Democrats and the GOP, security versus freedom. Iron Man believes the Avengers' power should be put in check by bureaucracy, but Captain America wants the Avengers to maintain their freedom to exercise their powers with integrity. What are your thoughts on his comment?
Yeah, this is kind of what I was pointing at. Like, this is a really good set of insights as well. That, you know, on the surface, it is just like good guys against bad guys, like white hats against black hats kind of a thing. But when it gets into something like Captain America saying to his sidekick, Bucky, "You didn't mean to do it," because he was under that, you know, brainwashing. And then him saying, "But it was still me who did it." This is an interesting moment of repentance, right? Inside of a character. So I think that there's maybe more theological meat on the bones than you'd expect from some dumb superhero movie. And you find that in instances like this. Also, the whole thing with the conflict in Civil War is an interesting thing too, because they have to keep, you know, like, just smooth sailing ahead is not good for storytelling. So having some sort of actual drama requires them actually being at odds with each other, sometimes from within and certainly always from without as well. And they have kind of a rich history. They've got, like, you know, 30, 40 years worth of comic books drawn out and written that they can draw from. So a lot of these are yanked from the covers of, or from the pages of those comic books, but they're also free now to kind of distill them and make them maybe more potent or get to the story a little more quickly. So these are great points that are being made.
This one comes from Sam in Canada. Sam says, "My question involves the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 movie, and it contains spoilers. If I understood and recalled the plot correctly, the main character, Peter Quill, finds out that his father is really a godlike being named Ego, who has taken on flesh and blood, become incarnate, to beget a child and with an Earth woman. The child, Peter, doesn't know he is half man, half god until he later meets his father, then suddenly his special powers make more sense. So he wants to join his father in creating new worlds that are actual physical extensions of their life force, that is, until he finds out his father is crazy. Then Peter is faced with the tough question to save the world or kill his father or join him in his nefarious plans. My question is this: is this simple the most interesting theology Hollywood could think of, or it just happens to have some reflections of Christianity with incarnation, a God, man, a creator, a savior of the universe, or is it purposefully a commentary on Christian theology? If so, what is the movie trying to say, given the father's mistreatment of his progeny, his unstable mental state, and the righteous rebellion of his son?"
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. Like, when we talked about the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, I think we did two different sections on that, because you know, the first one, we didn't really want to spoil that part of the movie for people. And then we kind of went back in and talked about the whole thing with Peter and his dad being a planet, which is a kind of a bizarre thing too, actually. Was it just, you know, the best, most interesting theology Hollywood could think of? Well, this is from the comic books again, like the idea. So it's not directly out of Hollywood. So it is certainly maybe more interesting theology than you regularly run into in Hollywood. It does have some interesting kind of reflections of Christian doctrine and the incarnation, you know, the idea of a creator, savior of the universe. But then when Sam asks about, is it purposely a commentary on Christian theology? I have not dug into whether or not it is or not, but there is this kind of subversiveness to that particular storyline that kind of gets a little under the Christian skin if they think about it a little too much, or if they think about it maybe enough. Because what is it saying? If this is supposed to be some sort of analogy where Peter Quill is like Jesus and Ego the planet is like God the Father, well, God the Father and Jesus have a completely different relationship to each other than Ego the planet and Peter Quill. So in a way, this is where occasionally these movies kind of tap into more like pagan kind of ideas. And you could almost see a better correlation between like Zeus and some of his progeny from like the pagan pantheon of, you know, ancient Greece, you know, kind of like where it's and it turns out being an antagonistic relationship, or it turns out that the god is not actually a good god in the first place. In the case of Ego the planet, not a good god at all.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking Marvel movies and taking your questions and your comments. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Stay tuned. Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
You could win an audio DVD of every presentation from all six Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? On our comment line, 618-223-8382. If we play your answer during Issues Etc., we'll send you a conference audio DVD of almost 50 hours of teaching. 618-223-8382 and answer the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? Please be sure to mention where you listen.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
What does Easter have to do with mission work? Find out in the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine, as you learn to see Christian missions through the lens of Easter and see Easter anew through the eyes of LCMS missionaries around the world. Celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection together with all the saints throughout time and to the very ends of the earth. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Thank you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking Marvel movies. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is an in-depth Bible study. It can actually be used as a Bible study. You can read it as a book and learn in-depth about the Proverbs 31 woman, or you can use it as a group and study that last chapter of the book of Proverbs in depth. It's called Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Geese, Trevor in Hillsdale, Michigan says this: can you comment on the decadence of American cinema? Increasingly, all we see are sequels and reboots with little or no original ideas. Star Wars: The Force Awakens is essentially A New Hope. Stephen Strange is Tony Stark, who utilizes magic instead of technology. Is this stagnation a problem in our culture, or does something like the Marvel Cinematic Universe represent a return to an older form of storytelling, namely mythology? Do you see this as a positive or a negative change?
So one thing is the decadence of American cinema. I think like the ability to do CGI the way they've been doing it has opened up quite a lot of avenues towards, you know, quote unquote decadence. But there's another, like, if you go back to like the original Star Wars, like what is now called A New Hope, which came out in 1977, that was like an American film by like George Lucas. And at the same time in Russia, there was a movie being made called Stalker, which was a science fiction movie. I remember being in college and watching that movie, the Russian one, and realizing just how, like, it's an interesting movie, but it's like a science fiction movie with no special effects, like practically zero special effects, a couple in-camera things, not much. And that was kind of like the Russians at the time were saying, well, this is like a great film, and it's it's an antidote against, you know, American decadence kind of a thing. But which one am I going to watch like dozens of times? I've seen Stalker maybe twice in my life, but Star Wars: A New Hope I've seen like dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times. So, the fact that Hollywood is able to do kind of amazing technical things, if it's done well, like any kind of vocation, then it's exciting and new and fresh and good. Sometimes it's just like a gigantic hot mess, you could say. So that's just one comment about what Trevor had said. The other thing is that, you know, like the idea of just things being rehashed over and over again, and there is kind of a fatigue to reboots of things, and people start to get kind of tired of that. We're in this kind of stage where everything is being rebooted. Even Lost in Space is being rebooted for Netflix. You know, there's just piles and piles of it. Like a friend of mine that goes to the films with us quite a bit, you know, he's just gotten to the point where he's sick and tired of origin stories. Like, does every movie have to be an origin? He felt as though all these movies were just origin stories. Like, get on with it. Tell us a new story. We get it. You know, teenage boy bitten by spider, you know, turns into Spider-Man. We get it. You don't have to keep, rebooting it. All of these comic book movies, like superhero movies, you know, are actually, some of them seem fresh because there had not been like an Ant-Man movie. You know, people had been waiting a long time for a Doctor Strange movie that was going to be a good movie. So some of this stuff seems fresh, but it also is retreaded from the past because there's pre-existing comic books for all of these films as well. There hasn't really been anything brand new in that kind of way. So that's another part of what Trevor had mentioned. So, you know, are these Marvel movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe a return to an older form of storytelling, namely like mythology kind of thing? I think that there's in some ways some things like that kind of hit on that, like we were just talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I think back when we talked about Age of Ultron, the Avengers film, I think I'd at that point also written and talked about how, you know, there's a sense in which these superheroes are like Hercules and like these different kinds of mythological pagan characters in some ways. So I can see that also, you know, in there. Does this seem to be a positive or negative change, these ones? I think that like these movies, these superhero movies are making money right now. And I think we've also probably at some point talked about this, that, you know, in the, like the, I don't know, mid late 50s and the 60s, there were like a lot of TV shows and movies that were Western themed. And right now we have a lot of TV shows and movies that are superhero themed. So we're kind of going through a period like that. But eventually it's like a bubble. So eventually that's going to burst and people are going to be not interested in superheroes anymore. I don't know when that's going to be. And I know that like Marvel has got things planned out for probably another decade worth of movies that are going to be coming out.
Daniel in Loudoun, Iowa. I read an article that some people are calling for Captain America to come out as a homosexual. No big surprise there. With a few exceptions, MMU has mostly avoided romantic plot lines. Do you think that they will continue with this trend, or will they increasingly sexualize and thus homosexualize movies down the line?
I hope they don't go that way, because I think that that is something that, newsflash, Lutheran pastor, from Lutheran Church Canada, that's an altar and pulpit fellowship with Missouri Synod, thinks that, you know, having like homosexual storylines that are like celebrated in movies is going to be bad. this is not God pleasing. So I would not want that in these movies. I think that they would really kind of maybe cause themselves some financial problems if they did that. I know that like the last Star Wars movie has not done as well as they, you know, like it made a lot of money, but it's not done as well as they had wanted it to do. And in part, there was quite a lot of quote unquote social justice warrior kind of stuff going on in those movies, and not everybody appreciated that. So I think that cut into their market. And really, you have to remember that, like, at the end of the day, they want to make money. So if they feel as though they can do that and make money, they will do it. If they feel as though they are somehow going to be, quote unquote, on the right side of history by doing that, and they feel morally, quote unquote, obligated to do it, then they will do it, you know, maybe even if they take a financial hit. But eventually, investors will be like, I don't like this financial hit, right? So there's that. The other thing that people need to remember is that Hollywood is fairly fickle. So as long as they're making money or they think that it's the right thing to do, they'll continue to do it. As soon as it's not, quote unquote, going to make them the money that they want to make, they may just drop that like a hot potato. If they see society turn in a different direction, they're going to turn with society. So sometimes they're pushing to lead society, and other times they're following along trying to catch all the money they can catch. Right. So that's just some thoughts about that. I came across something the other day on the internet, and I haven't really actually read all of it, but I saw the headline, and it was about Disney's live action Mulan movie. And it's from the Huffington Post, and it was talking about how, I saw that movie years ago. I didn't realize this, but apparently there's a character in it that's quote unquote a meaningful bisexual icon. And that's the B and the LGBTQ, you know, acronym. So I didn't realize that character was quote unquote meaningly bisexual, character of Shang or whatever. And people don't like that character is not going to be in, like, quote unquote, people. Some people don't like the fact that that's going to be in this Disney live action Mulan movie. Well, Disney and Marvel Studios, they're connected, right? So the way Disney goes, Marvel Studios might go, right? Like there's kind of connections between the two, both financially and also artistically, and the vision is all kind of connected together. Star Wars is part of that now too. So, will the things that are infecting Star Wars and movies like Beauty and the Beast, another live action Disney product, are they going to start to infect in a obvious way the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I don't know. Like, if anybody has seen Deadpool, which I don't really recommend, it's not really, I don't know, it is what it is, but it's certainly not for teenagers or kids. That has a lot of transgressive, weird sexual stuff in it as well, which probably would be applauded and praised by the people who would be upset with this stuff not being in it. So
here's the final question. It comes from Johanna in Olathe, Kansas. Just short and sweet. Based on their ideologies and backstories, if one of the Avengers or supporting characters was Lutheran, which one would you say it would be, Pastor Geese?
Can I give two answers?
Yes.
So one would be, for one reason, not perfectly, but for one reason would be the character of Clint Barton, who is Hawkeye. And particularly because he doesn't have any superpowers really per se, but he is really good with his bow and arrow. And in that Age of Ultron movie, there's a moment kind of near the end when everything is going kind of bonkers, and he's talking with this Wanda Maximoff, who's becomes the quote unquote Scarlet Witch. She's going to be a part of this Age of Ultron, or not, this Infinity War movie. They're talking, and he's trying to give her a bit of a pep talk because she's saying it's all of this stuff that's going on is our fault. And he says to her, it's everyone's fault, you know, like, and then he says, I need to know if you're, you know, if you can help me with all of this, because the city is flying in the air, I'm fighting robots, and all I've got is a bow and arrow. And he says, and I'm going back out there to fight because it's my job. And when I heard that, I thought of vocation. So like a theology of vocation is a big part of that character. Plus that same movie, you get to see some of his family life stuff, which is kind of interesting too. So family and vocation are a big part of who that character is. And I think that that's kind of something that, you know, resonates with Lutheran theology. Another character, the second one, would be Steve Rogers as Captain America. Now, in the comic books, he's Anglican or Episcopalian, I guess. But in that first Avengers film from 2012, he's in the little ship or whatever, and Scarlett Johansson's character, Natasha Romanoff, you know, Black Widow says, you know, like Thor and Loki just like went out the back of the ship, and he's about to jump out after them. And she says, you know, like, you know, these guys are from like legend or something. Basically they're gods. And his response is, there's only one God, ma'am. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that. So, you know, here's a guy who actually, you know, is a Christian character, has been in the comic books and probably resonates a little more in that way. Although in the comic books, it is, like I said, explicitly pointed out that he's Episcopalian or Anglican. So that's, I don't know. Those would be two guys that I would think of. There are some other like characters that I think are interesting, like the Incredible Hulk is another one where he's dealing with, you know, the simul-usus epicoter, maybe like the simultaneously Satan sinner, simultaneously Bruce Banner and the Hulk kind of a thing. That could be an interesting, you know, kind of a thing. Although he does say, you know, like when he's asked, how are you managing with this? And he says, well, it's easy. I'm just angry all the time. So I think that there are little bits and pieces you can find in all of these guys. And it's an interesting rogues gallery of characters.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You will find a link to his reviews at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Johanna in Kansas, if you would send us your contact information for your local movie theater to talkback@issuesetc.org, we'll send you a $25 gift certificate. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Sharif Girgis about Senator Cory Booker's grilling of Mike Pompeo on whether he believes being gay is a perversion. And it's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough and Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
Oh, Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.